You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Lamest Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in lamest terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like the sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
All right, so you know what's up with this week. This episode will probably be called Fuck Your Bracket.
Basically.
Because damn, I mean.
In case y'all wondering, I am calling via Skype, so I ain't at the house today, so bear with us.
Oh, yeah, I think we'll be all right. But, yeah, we got busy recording other shows the day before. We weren't able to fit ours in. One went a little bit, a lot long, so.
Dang, it's all good.
Yeah, it's all great. But, so, yeah, we're going to be getting into this tournament talk now, you know. And, of course, we're going to hit the NBA, NFL, as we always do.
Of course.
Well, as y'all know, you can find us at blackheadsonline.com. You can also listen to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud. Just hit in Black Is. Black Is Online. You'll find us. If y'all want to get at us, talk some sports with us, any of that, you can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. We'll read your response and on the show and get at you.
Yeah, absolutely. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know. We will definitely get back at you. Holla!
Oh, yeah. Before we jump into this tournament, I want to give a couple quick shout-outs. First, got to give shout-out to the homie, Mr. Moody, over at the...
What up, Jeff is? Jeff yeah, is.
Indian Radio gave us some big love on his Mr. Moody's neighborhood. When he was discussing, so we just want to shout him out. He's always a big supporter, so we want to give him some love.
Absolutely. He linked us in with Bumani Jones. I'm like, well, that's respect right there.
That's right.
Appreciate that, man.
No doubt. And, you know, we got to give it to our fellow basketball hoop heads over at the Hoopla Show.
Absolutely.
Y'all back.
Yeah, shout out to Storm, Spirit, and the homie Dino. I caught y'all latest episode with y'all got tag teamed by me and Chris with emails and voicemails, but hey, great show, y'all. Keep up the good work. Look forward to doing a show with y'all again in the future, of course.
Oh, of course, man. You know, now that it's getting thick.
Exactly. It's getting to playoff time. You know, we got to do something.
Oh, yeah. About a few weeks away, about a month away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but before all of that, everybody focuses on this March Madness.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, it has been crazy. I want to give some love to my Hampton Pirates. You know, Jonathan did not put them on his bracket.
Hell no. I mean, look, man, I gave Hampton mad love on the last episode. I was pulling for him in spirit.
Of course.
Let's be realistic. If I'm a betting man, there's no way I'm putting them on the bracket. I'm sorry. I had them beating Manhattan. How about it?
Yeah. Now, funny thing is, if we, you know, for Vegas, I might have thrown a little dub on there or something, you know, just luck of the draw things, and they just so happened to pull it off. But they played hard. I have to give it to them. They played hard. They showed up. It's just when you was just comparing it, you're like, damn, Kentucky is big as hell.
Compared to
Hampton, like, damn.
Come on. You're comparing a a powerhouse NCAA basketball team to a historically black college. Of course, there's no comparison.
Of course, come on. Yeah, they fought early. It was like, oh, I mean, they was clowning pregame. Things that will happen before Hampton wins tonight. It was like dinosaurs gonna come back.
Man,
damn, the Titanic gonna dock.
Oh boy.
Like Kenny Smith gonna root for Duke. You're like, God damn, Charles Barkley gonna win a championship. You're like, damn, y'all.
That's fired.
For real. I'm like, hey, why I got to be like that? And it was like, oh, they up 4-3. Take a picture.
Right. This is the last time you'll see them with a lead. Like, oh damn. So
you can tell your kids. I'm like, okay, come on, come on. Seriously.
It's like, damn, y'all.
We can tell my kids I got to the tournament. I ain't got to tell them, yeah, I was up 4-3 on Kentucky. Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that. And then, of course, it was bracket madness.
Oh, man, everybody's bracket was done. Shout out to Rashani and Enrique Black. Iowa State got put out in the first game.
Man, I'm sorry, Daryl. I'm sorry, Daryl. I know he is like, word. I had y'all going far too. I was like, they about grew. It just went bad from there. I mean, we're at the Sweet 16 now. You have what, three number ones still alive?
Yep.
What the hell happened to Villanova? And that just screwed up because I had them in the national championship. Like, all right, thank you for messing that up, losing to NC State.
I actually had Villanova losing in the Sweet 16.
Mm.
So I had them losing to Louisville, so that was me, but you know.
I mean, other shockers, Michigan State beat number two Virginia.
That was no shock to me. I had them doing that anyway.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, Michigan State is weird. They're a college team that really reminds me of those NBA teams, similar to like the Spurs and other teams that when it comes to like, you know, if you want to call it playoff time for the college teams, they seem to just ramp their game up for whatever reason. Mike Izzo gets them to just ramp their game up come, you know, tournament time. They're okay during the regular season. Michigan State is always like okay in the regular season. And then next thing you know, come tournament time, they just start, they fuck brackets up. You're just like, I wouldn't expect them to do that. I always, Tom Izzo is a great coach, and I always expect them to give teams a fits when they get to the tournament. Always.
Oh, yeah, they play well in the tournament for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Virginia had an issue. They've always been having these issues, I guess, with just not playing well and not being able to come back late and win.
They're just offensively challenged.
Yeah.
They're a good defense. They're a great defensive team, but just offensively, they're limited.
Yeah, they are.
Shout out to Georgia State. I was rooting for them, and they won. Beat Baylor, baby.
Another shock. You're like, what the – what?
Georgia State. Holla at your boy. And then, of course, they lost to Xavier.
Of course. But that was a big shot, though, homie, hit to win the game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you
loved tournament time. Like, pull up three for the win. Oh, shit. Going crazy.
I know my folks in Atlanta was going bananas.
Oh, I know they were. And I know people out here, I mean, UCLA was getting a lot of doubts.
I have doubts.
And again, I had them beating SMU.
I did too.
Let's go, baby. I mean, look, I mean, I had to show some love to the UCLA folks.
Yeah, they played hard. Man. I mean, they did the damn thing. So I'm happy about that.
It's going to be nice seeing a little West Coast game between them and Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm. Utah's in the mix, too, beating Georgetown to get to the Sweet 16. And, I mean, who else? What's the other number two that ended up taking that? Oh, Kansas.
Mm.
So number seven, Wichita State. Like, oh, my God.
I mean, Wichita State's one of them teams that just – they got them seniors, juniors, and seniors going up against these freshmen. I'm like, these juniors and seniors, they've been here before. I'm like, people seem to forget that Wichita State was the last team you know, prior to Kentucky that was on that undefeated streak.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, they're a team that they're known. They are a known team. It's kind of like, you know, you want to play some basketball, you go to Wichita State and play some ball. And you probably going to get some pub if y'all reach the tournament. And right now, hey, more power to them. I'm pulling for them, too. I like pulling for these underdog teams. That's what's up.
No, I do, too. I mean, I definitely like seeing the teams that are really exciting to watch. I want to see them go deep. But I ain't mad when somebody gets upset. I mean, if it's my team that's getting upset, of course I'm pissed. But, you know, it's one game.
Yeah.
You got to bring – you can't have any doubt. You can't just get cocky and think we got them or they a lower seed. We not worried about them. And that's what usually bites you in your ass.
Don't forget about Arizona. Another Pac-10 school sneaking up in there. Just they kicked Ohio State's ass, man.
Two wins against Texas Southern and Ohio State just stomping.
Like, they on a mission.
Let's go. Get to the Final Four, y'all. That's where I got them, so let's go.
Dude, we got to talk about Kentucky. You think Kentucky going to do it? You think they going to go undefeated?
I had it. You know, I didn't do a whole damn research with this. It was just like, I'm going to just go off a gut feeling. I have them going all the way. Even though I'm not really sure that they will. You know, I thought maybe Villanova would upset them, and Villanova ain't there. And basically, as the way it's going right now, you basically going to win because my bracket is crap.
So
like, damn it. I mean, we'll see when we get to the end.
Exactly.
I'm like, I got a lot of X's on mine. Like, nope. And like, man, I had you going to like the Elite Eight. And you out in the second and the third round. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, for me, with Kentucky, I mean, they got big bodies, but I have them losing. I have them losing to Wisconsin.
Mm.
Final Four. I mean, I think Wisconsin is a team that, again, they've got some guys who've been there before. They've been in the big moment. This center they got is unbelievable. I mean, Kamenisky or whatever his name is, mm-hmm. He's damn good. And I think they can shoot as well, and I think they're going to give Kentucky a run for their money. I really, truly do, especially the fact that these are young guys. If you can push Kentucky real close and keep it close towards the end of the game, these guys are young. I think they might fall apart at the end.
They might, man. That's a lot of pressure, though. I mean, going undefeated when nobody else has done it since, like, the 70s, since before I was born. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot.
That's why I picked it. The game before the championship.
Yeah.
Pressure just going to be too much for them, and it's going to turn on them.
Yeah, because you get to the Final Four, they're going to be favored.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean, going into the Sweet 16, you got Kentucky playing West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be an interesting matchup.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, you got, and then also in the Midwest, you got Notre Dame versus number 7, Wichita State.
Notre Dame's been playing, man.
They came up big against Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And in our West, you got number 1 Wisconsin versus number 4 North Carolina.
Woo! How about them Tar Heels?
Yeah, they trying to prove something.
Man, could you imagine if it for some way, somehow, it was North Carolina Duke in the championship game?
It'd probably be one of the highest rated national championships ever.
You know Kenny Smith would love that.
Man, if that happened, it might straight be like one of them high school games where it's like North Carolina on one side, Duke on the other. You ain't gonna see nothing but blue.
Yep. Little powder blue.
Little royal blue.
Royal blue.
Yep. Ain't gonna see no red, no other colors in there.
Better not be coming up in here with that.
Nope. That'd be exciting. I don't know if that's ever happened.
I'm not sure, but that would be awesome.
That would be.
Great to see.
Then you got number 6 Xavier versus number 2 Arizona. Arizona might roll again, man. They just they on it.
I was just about to say I expect Arizona to stop and just move on. Because they in the West, too. They in Los Angeles. That plays in their favor. They going to have a crowd behind them. I think they're going to roll.
Yeah. And then in the South, you got number 1 Duke versus number 5 Utah.
Sorry, Utah, but I think Duke is going to stomp him. And in the South, please.
Yeah, It might be a little bit closer, but I see Duke pulling this one out, probably lose by 7. And then you got number 11, UCLA. Going against number 2, Gonzaga. Let's keep that run going.
Would love to see UCLA win, but I really don't think they're going to pull it off. Yeah. I just think too much for them. But who knows? I mean, we've seen Gonzaga in these positions before where you think they're going to move on and they underachieve for whatever reason.
Yep. So. And then you got out east, number 8 NC State versus number 4 Louisville.
I expect Louisville to stomp a hole in them. Roll on.
I mean, they know, man. Both 1 and 2 seeds are gone from that region. So it's whoever wants it. And then you got number 3 Oklahoma versus number 7 Michigan State.
And I expect Michigan State to roll them over.
Ooh,
for that Rick Pitino Tom Izzo matchup. Ooh, that's gonna be excellent to watch.
That will be. Oh man, but yeah, it's been great. The games I've been able to catch, trying to sneak a peek at work and when I'm at the crib. So I'm excited.
Oh yeah, it's been fun.
All right, on to the NBA. First of all, we had to say to our boy Spirit, we hit him up. I don't know what you said. I hadn't listened to it yet, but my email, I was just like, bruh, as Spurs and Bulls fans, we understand that injuries suck ass.
Oh, yeah. I basically told him, I was like, look, man, Derrick Rose out. Jimmy Butler was out. Finally came back tonight, knock on wood. Todd Gibson was out. Like, dude, I understand completely. Believe me. I completely understand what you're going through.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, drop one. Yeah, Serge Ibaka was out 4 to 6 weeks after his successful knee surgery, which was like, oh, he's just going to have to clear some stuff in his knee. It ain't going to be that bad. Like, okay, out 4 to 6 weeks. Like, oh, okay.
To me, when that whole cleaning up, I was just going, I'm like, look, them things, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, they're never really minor with these guys. You can be like, oh, he'll be back. It's not like, oh, he'll be back tomorrow. No. I'm like, if you're going under the knife to have surgery, if the word surgery is used to me, that means you are going to be out at least a minimum of 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Surgery. I mean, it's one thing to get stitches or something, but I mean, you're talking about surgery. Scope or whatever it may be, I'm like, you gonna be out at least a week or two. You know, just popping back up from that.
No, it's not. Yeah, so that was bad. I mean, I guess the surgery was simple, but it was just like, I thought he'd be, the way they made it sound like, oh, he might miss a couple weeks. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Damn.
And then, the major hit, who Kevin Durant was supposed to be back this week. I'm like, Kevin Durant's been removed from all basketball-related activities out indefinitely.
You never want to hear that I word.
Nope.
That basically, he out for the season.
Yeah, but I was like, yeah, and it wasn't like, oh, he hurt, he removed. The fact that he said he's removed from all basketball-related activities, you like, oh, shit, this is serious.
Yeah, he has to stay off his feet. That's basically what that tells me. Like he is not allowed to do anything. He can't even sprint. I'm like, dude, so that means you need to stay off your feet. It's basically what you need to do.
Yeah, and that sucks.
Rest. It sucks, but that's what you need to do to get better. I'm sorry to say. It's just real talk.
No, it is, man. That's what it's gonna take.
You can have a boot on and everything, but if you're constantly walking around with the boot, it really isn't doing anything. Your foot's still not really resting. It may be, in a stiff position, but you're still moving around too much. You got to rest. Let your body heal up. But, young guys, they don't understand.
No, and, the sucky part is, I mean, Westbrook is balling his butt off. I mean, I just seen that they kind of took away a rebound on what was supposed to be his 10th triple-double.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that man is I was like, damn.
That's shit.
Yeah, but that man is on a tear. He's really trying to make a push for this MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, okay. But I'm looking at the calendar now. The last game of the season is April 15th. Which is, we have basically this one, 4 weeks.
Damn.
Left in the season. And honestly, if I'm Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant ain't playing no more.
Nope.
That's it. Like, well, you know, we can go to make the playoffs. But, yeah, if it don't happen, I ain't mad. Like, we'll take the lottery pick.
Exactly. Give it to me.
But, yeah, that was bad. And I think they're in eighth right now, worked it back up.
Yeah, they're in eighth right now. They're in a pretty good spot. They're about 2.5 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way it's looking like they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, he's, you know, like we said, Westbrook is on a tear right now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's just like, damn, you know, which that 1-8 matchup, I was really looking forward to them playing Golden State.
You would have loved to see Kevin Durant and Westbrook and the Westbrook that's playing right now. You would love to see that tandem play, you know, say, but well, there's no chance. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was hoping that that would have been the case. I mean, now, if you're an Oklahoma City fan, do you want them to just fall out?
No, because, I mean, I will say what I believe Westbrook has no chance if he has to do it all by himself. But the way he's playing,
mm-hmm.
there's a chance.
Oh, yeah. And the way he's playing, you honestly want to see him in the playoffs.
Exactly. And I'll take my chances.
Yeah, I mean, he going to give Steph Curry his, you know, ooh, point guard matchup going to be the shit.
Let's say, hypothetically, Russell Westbrook somehow, some way, is able to win that series with Golden State. It's feasible to say. You don't know, but, you know, Serge Ibaka could be back by then.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more help. We don't know. The word indefinitely, you know, to me means you out for the season, but it has no timetable. So we don't know when Kevin Durant's going to be able to come back. It's feasible. Month goes by. He's feeling better. He's able to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you added Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka to that Westbrook, you know, going into the second round of playoffs. That's going to be scary for whatever team they got to face.
Oh, it would be. I mean, if he beats Golden State, you just like... Maybe we should be giving the MVP to him. You know, it would have been hard for me to pick Oklahoma City coming, you know, when they have full strength to beat Golden State. It, granted, they could do it.
Yeah.
But without – I think Ibaka may be back, maybe, if that. But I'm like, if you don't have both of them, yeah, you asking for a lot. Yeah. I mean, Westbrook can do what he can do. I know that's last game he had a triple-double. I think he was like – he shot a ugly shooting percentage.
Of course he did.
Like 4 for 22 or something real ugly.
Some Westbrook-esque.
Yeah.
Typical.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the playoffs. I've been hearing some talk about maybe them changing the playoff format to the 16 best teams. How do you feel about that? You say, is that something you would like to see? Or you like it the way it is?
Well, before I answer that question, let me just give a shout out to my Bulls who clinched the playoffs tonight. Whoop, whoop. Done and done. Accomplished. Next mission, get help and move on. Jimmy Butler played his first game back tonight, which means we one step closer to full health. Now all we're waiting for is Derrick Rose, baby. And it's a wrap. Now, as far as the 16, as the best 16, personally, no, I don't like it. I would prefer them to just leave things the way they are. I mean, unfortunately, we're at a state right now where, you know, due to all the social media and all of that, everybody's basically able to give their opinion on anything and everything they want to. So we are now at a point in time where, you know, everybody is sitting here crapping all on the East for being so terrible. Yet people don't realize that, you know, what, 15 years ago? Less than that. I mean, shoot, not even. A few years ago, Miami was the dominant team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, granted, you know, everybody ain't winning 50 games, you know, like the West is, but I'm like, three out of the last four champions were from the East. So I'm like, the East can't be that shitty. I'm granted, of course, you know, it's easy to say with the best player in the league.
Yeah, they're the best team by far in the East.
But they're in the East. And I'm like, but they were still in the East. And I'm like, Michael Jordan won the Bulls 6 chips. Nobody in the West could beat them. I'm like, you can say all you want about the teams. Now I'm like, you know, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. It's going to go full circle. And there's going to become a point in time where the East is the more dominant conference, you know, all around. It's just right now, most of the better players are in the West. And that's just the way it is right now.
Yeah, I prefer the same too. I know they were talking about it, and I'm just like, look, I can tell you straight up, there's going to be 15 teams that's going to be like, nope, leave it the way it is, and it's going to be all from the East. Because if I'm Miami, if I'm Boston, if I'm Indiana, nope, I like it the way it is.
If I'm Washington, nope.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, does it kind of suck that a team from the West may get almost 50 wins and not make it? Yeah, but, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, really, for players, it's like, look, you know what conference is easier.
Exactly.
Just go then. Go play in Milwaukee. Go to Miami. Go to Boston. I mean, just do that. Kevin Love got traded. You know, granted, he ain't that happy, but they winning. He eventually is on a team that clinched a playoff spot, so.
And then, I mean, you look at the team, at the difference in the teams, and it sucks to say it, but it's the truth. The cities in the West are just much more feasible places to live and places people want to go, as opposed to the East. I mean, look at the East. You got Atlanta, great city. Mm-hmm. Cleveland.
Sorry, Cleveland.
Toronto is.
Toronto's cool. It's just, it's in Canada, but Toronto's popping.
In Canada, you got Chicago, which is a cool city. Just stay away from the South Side.
Yeah, and it's cold as hell.
Exactly. You got DC, cool city. Cool mm-hmm. city. Got to make sure you stay in certain places. Stay out of certain places. Got Milwaukee. You got Miami. Okay, of course.
Which supposedly everybody want to go to, but it ain't looking like it right now.
Exactly. You got Boston. I love Boston, but it's too damn cold. And then you got Indiana, you got Charlotte, you know, shout out to little brother, you know, Brooklyn, like, you know, Detroit and all that. You got these cold weather cities. You look at the West. You got San Francisco, basically. You got L.A. twice. You got Memphis. Shout out to 3-6 Mafia. You got Houston. You got Dallas. You know, San Antonio. You got all of Texas, basically. You know, Oklahoma, yeah. But you got Phoenix, you got New Orleans, you got Denver, you even got Sacramento. I mean, even Minnesota, as cold as it is up there, is a nice place to live. It's just, they're better places to live in the West, dude. I'm a free agent, and you talk about the East or West. If I'm talking about moving my family, I'm going West, buddy.
Yeah, you would go West. It's just the fact that the West has just drafted and made better moves.
Yeah.
And teams are just better. And you know what? About a month ago, even up to like January, it was you still felt like the East was, you know, doing its part.
Mm-hmm.
But recently Toronto's been slipping. Washington been slipping. I mean, Milwaukee was above 500. Now they not.
Yeah.
Miami is terrible. They 32-37.
Good Lord.
I mean, Boston, who we were like, oh, Boston ain't doing nothing. They need to trade. They trade Rondo. They in the eighth spot right now.
Oh, God. At 31-39.
Indiana, who lost Paul George and Lance Stevenson, and people were like, well, they ain't making the playoffs. They still in the mix.
Yeah, game out. Jesus.
So it's crazy. Yeah, I want them to leave it the way it is. You're just going to have to battle your way. Because I'm just like, well, if you just want to do it like that, then just make one big conference.
Exactly.
Like, what's the point of having conferences and then being like, all right, well, when it comes to the playoffs, it don't matter. That wouldn't it be cool to see, you know, I mean, this series? Like, yeah, them teams got to get there.
I mean, you've heard ideas of them moving teams to different conferences. So I'm kind of like, that's, I don't want that. That's dumb.
No, teams will get better. It'll be a few years. Teams will get better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Paul George was talking to maybe coming back this week. It just, he needed to sit out.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You on that Carmelo tip. You on that Derrick Rose tip. Don't do it. Sit your behind out. You've been out this long of the season. Dude, there's what, 2 weeks? What, like you said, 4 weeks left basically? Mm-hmm. Dude, just sit the rest of the season out. Don't push yourself. Don't try to rush back, because all you're going to do is end up getting hurt again and putting yourself back. Stay healthy. Get yourself ready. Be ready for training camp. And take it from there. And I'm sure. And my thing is, I'm like, look, dude, at this point, get you a nice draft pick and then, you know, come back. Y'all probably be a better team, a way better team than what you are right now.
Yep. That's real. We didn't mention this last week, but I found this was interesting. Steve Kerr said it's not his job to promote Steph Curry for MVP, unlike Daryl Morey over in Houston, who is campaigning hard for his player who put up 44 today to get MVP. And I'm with Kerr on that. I'm like, I got a job to do, which is to get this team to the playoffs and beyond. If I do my job and help out and Steph Curry does his, then he'll be in position to possibly win MVP.
Exactly. I mean, look, it's two totally different positions. I'm like, Steve Curry ain't got the time to sit here and promote Stephen Curry for MVP. Daryl Morey, I mean, trade deadline is passed. I mean, he's probably watching the NCAA tournaments and stuff, but at this point, I'm like, he got time. I mean, I personally don't know what it's like to be a general manager for an NBA franchise. I'm just saying, I'm sure he got a little bit more time on his hand than Steve Kerr does on his, because I got games to coach for, and I'm trying to put team as the number one seed in the West for the playoffs. And I'm like, if Steph Kerr, the way Steph Curry is playing, I'm like, the results will show for themselves. I don't have to pump him up. And in all honesty, Daryl Morey doesn't have to pump up James Harden. The results are showing for themselves.
No, Daryl Morey he like being out there and talking, it seemed like.
I got James Harden as the number one for my MVP, and it has nothing to do with Daryl Morey pumping him up. I completely thought Daryl Morey was even promoting this. I'm like, James Harden is just balling, and I just take notice of that.
Yeah, I'm with you on the same way, too. I'm just like, you know, make sure you get your team ready, because clearly Dwight Howard, I don't know when he coming back.
Never.
You know, your team is in third, so just, hey.
And I'm telling you this right now. If they stay third, James Harden has to win MVP. Only because everybody can make your cases for Steph Curry, but I'm like, James Harden is doing it basically by himself.
Hey, man, they about a game and a half out of second.
If they're two or three, James Harden needs to win MVP. There's my slogan for it. Two or three, he gets MVP.
Yeah, then he better hope that Spurs don't stay in six. We coming for it. Let's go. Beat Atlanta. Let's go.
Or your team. They trying to make their little push.
Yeah, we are, man. Outside of that ugly damn loss.
Go ahead and
to the Knicks.
How do you feel about that that loss to the New York Knickerbockers, sir?
Man, this is some bullshit.
That loss was terrible.
Greg Popovich was not a happy man.
No, he shouldn't have been. None of them dudes should have been happy. It was embarrassing. Now, they came out and won three straight, so good.
Now, my question to you is, and the Hoopla crew kind of brought this up. Do you think Popovich should have taken some blame in that loss? Or is it on the players?
No, I mean, if when you play a game like that, it's not just the players. I mean, I would expect him to take some blame, because he's like, there's probably something I didn't do. I didn't get these guys ready to play.
Mm.
With a loss like that, coach is going to get some.
Yeah.
I would give him a little bit. It's a team loss. And there was some buttons he didn't press correctly and things he probably didn't do. But I wouldn't, you know, the players would get it first.
Oh, of course.
But yes, I would say, you know, he would get a little bit, and rightfully so.
Okay.
Yeah. Tonight, like, mad at it.
Like you said, after that, they came out 1-3 straight. So it's in the past.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Atlanta lost 3 straight. So everybody now is like, get all right, they ain't going to do nothing.
See, they ain't for real. I'm like, dude, they're 53-17. Are you kidding me? They have the second best record in the league, and they not for real. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they lost 3, you know, but I guess because it's so close to April, you losing 3 straight. Uh-oh.
I mean, they've already clinched their division.
Yeah, I mean, look, it didn't matter how good Atlanta was going to be. Even if Atlanta wins the rest of their games, we know who's going to be favored when the playoffs start. Cleveland.
Of
Atlanta
course.
Could go on another damn 15-game winning streak. Who's going to come out the East? Cleveland. That's all they're going to say. I'm Cleveland because of LeBron James, Kyrie Irving. It's like, come on, it don't matter.
Yeah, you're right. It don't matter.
Anyway. And before we head to break, got to give love to Steve Nash, retiring officially after 19 seasons.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the best point guards of my generation. And, I mean, his time in Phoenix was amazing. I mean, the man made some incredible passes, 2-time MVP. You know, granted, he never got a championship, but – you know, overall, he won one of the best point guards ever. He was third all time in assists behind Stockton and Magic, I believe.
Stockton and I think Mark Jackson.
Jackson. I mean, hey. Yeah, I mean, for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's behind Stockton and Jason Kidd. Excuse me.
Yeah, excuse me. So, I mean, for me, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. Probably will make it through a first ballot.
Yeah.
I mean, dude's what? I think he's put up 4 seasons of 50, 40, 90. And dude, I mean, he's been one of the best. I mean, you know, granted, he wasn't a good defensive player.
I mean, he wasn't a great defender. He wasn't the best athlete.
But, you know, you just wonder if.
He was crafty.
Yeah, you just wonder if he had stayed in Dallas, what would have happened. But, I mean, he went to Phoenix and became, you know, the dude.
And people can debate what they want with me. He, to me, in my opinion, is the second best point guard I've ever seen run the pick and roll next to John Stockton.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he perfected that pick. He and Amare perfected that guy, that daggone pick and roll with Phoenix. It was sickening. It was very reminiscent of Stockton Malone-ish.
Yeah, it was. They would use that thing to death.
And it worked.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's making it official. I know he's kind of hurts. You know, nobody wants to retire, especially like that.
Yeah, you hate to see his career end the way it did, but, right. You know, it happens.
Yeah, so shout out to him.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, get into some NFL news, and get into these awards. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. All right, y'all, we're back. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
What's that?
Y'all want to talk some sports, talk some NBA, talk some tournament talk. How is your school still in it? Is your bracket, is there still hope for you to win your pool? Hit us up. Let's talk. You can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Reach us on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know your thoughts, how you feel about your NBA squad. Spirit, again, Ish Smith. Y'all should have never let him go, man. What you feeling? Holla.
All right. Getting to this NFL. One of the big things that hit that came out was the 49ers linebacker Chris Borland retires at age 24 because he fears getting a brain injury.
And I'm not mad at him. I mean, look, everybody, I mean, the NFL has said a lot of stuff and have put, you know, has put quite an emphasis on concussions and all of this. And I'm going to take it back to the Super Bowl. And at least in my opinion, Julian Edelman had a blatant concussion and was not taken out of the game. So I'm like, if we're so against concussions and trying to protect these players, I'm like, you had a dude on national television with millions of people watching. I'm sure I'm not the only person who saw he was concussed. And I'm like, not one person came out and was like, oh, we got to take him out of this game. Yet in that same game, you had a dude in the prior game, Cliff Averill, who gets a concussion and is taken out of the game. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm not mad at Chris Borland. I'm not. He's a young man, come out of Wisconsin. He seems like he's a very intelligent individual. And kudos to him. He paid back 3/4 of his signing bonus. I mean, that shows you how serious he is about this, where he's just like, you know, my health, I'm sure he sees all these guys who played before him who are 40, 50 years old and are probably in wheelchairs. Some of them in wheelchairs, maybe some of them using walkers or canes. And, you know, some of them have long-term healthcare issues. And he looks at it and sees the big picture and says, I don't want to have to deal with that when I have a family. I don't want to have, you know, my kids being, you know, 18, 19 years old taking care of me because of what football did to me. And I'm sure with his football acumen, with his intelligence and his, you know, and also with his football acumen, he can make a living. You know, I'm sure he can get an analyst job on some, you know, TV station somewhere or whatever he wants to do with his life. And I mean, good for him. And you saw Jason Worrells retired from Pittsburgh. Patrick Willis called the quits. I think you're seeing a lot of these, you know, and a lot of people call football players dumb, but you are seeing a lot of these guys take the smart route and saying, you know what? It's not worth risking my long-term health. And I think this is the wake-up call the NFL needs to say, oh, shit, we got to get this shit together and make this game safer for the players. Now we really got to do something. I think before it was like, yeah, let's a lot of talk about, yeah, let's do something. Let's make the game safe. Now it's like, all right, we need to take some fucking action because we're losing players in their prime because the game is too dangerous for them and it's causing long-term health issues. We got to find a solution. So I applaud Chris Borland for his decision, and I wish him the best of luck in his future. I truly do.
No, yeah, I feel you, man. I think in this day and age where now you've got more information on concussions and injuries that can happen playing the sport with the whole lawsuit situation, I think guys are just being a little bit smarter and just trying to not put themselves in too much harm. And plus you make a lot more money now, so you don't have to play as long to make enough money to live off of.
Mm-hmm.
Make a nice amount of money, you play as long as you can, and what may be a positive is maybe some of these guys will make sure going into college, because this is not the NBA, going into college, you make sure you learn as much as you can, because maybe, you know, you take a couple, two or three hits, No, I mean, they keep saying the shelf life of a football player is like 3 years.
Yep.
So as long as you handling your business, I mean, look, I'm sure he didn't want to retire, but I think he's just like, you know what?
It's not worth it.
Yeah, I can't. And I don't want to take the risk. So, and I thought that, yeah, like I said, that was cool with him giving it back. Cause he, you know, cause I know he could have been like, well, this bonus was for, you know, a full 2-3 years, you robbing us. And he just like, nope, here you go. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to jip you.
Want to deal with it. Exactly.
Yeah, I think more will do it, but I don't expect like everybody to do it. But I remember even with Robert Smith, when he retired at like 28, and you were like, what?
Yep.
Like, dude, you're balling.
Same with Barry Sanders.
Yeah, Barry Sanders. You were like, come on, Barry Sanders. Damn.
Jim Brown retired early.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons, but he retired early. I mean, it happened, man.
No, it does. So we've seen the Cowboys picked up Greg Hardy. The mayor of Dallas ain't too happy about it.
I mean, can you blame him? This man was convicted of his wife and threatening to kill her. He was convicted by a judge. He appealed it. And for whatever reason, she didn't show. So the case was dismissed.
Yeah.
Dropped. Like, technically, he should be in jail.
He should be.
He should be in jail right now. So I'm like, I don't blame the mayor at all for being uncomfortable with Dallas, you know, signing him. As a football move, you know, the Cowboys, and they set themselves up smartly. They basically, it looks like a large contract, but the way it pays itself out is, he has to basically play in the games in order to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Games, he ain't getting no money. So, I mean, in that aspect, they can cut him whenever and doesn't count against them. In that aspect, it was smart on their end. You know, they get a guy, you know, it's a 1-year contract. He gets a year to kind of revamp his image in a different city. He is in Dallas as opposed to Carolina. So he is in a bigger city where it's a lot easier to get in trouble. So let's hope he can keep himself under wraps. If he can be a good citizen, a model citizen, he can help them on the football field for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He sets himself up straight. He stays out of the paperwork. Next year, he might be able to set himself up to get paid more money. But as of right now, you know, it. Like I said, as a football move, it's a great move.
Oh, no, it's a great move as a football. And we know the league. I mean, come on, like, we can't act like last year was how it was every year before that.
Exactly.
2-3 years ago, you'd be like, damn, that's fucked up. And then you just be like, well, and it would just all be about, this was a great move by Dallas.
Yep.
But now it's like, well, that may not be a good PR look, but hey, I mean, Dallas trying to win. I don't blame them.
Exactly.
Somebody was going to get them.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody was going to take that risk. And it, of course, you know, happened to be Jerry Jones.
Along with the Adrian Peterson saga.
Oh, God.
You already had his agent refuse a dinner meeting with Vikings GM Rick Spielman at the NFL owners meeting. And now his agent's coming out saying Vikings are not right for Peterson.
I have been saying since day one that we have seen the last of Adrian Peterson in the Vikings uniform. At this point are just trying to hold him hostage. They're trying, you know, it's that situation where you with a chick who's really not feeling you anymore, and you still trying to whine and dine and roar, and she is just not hearing it. It's like, dude, get a clue. I don't want to be with you no more. Adrian Peterson don't want to be with the Vikings anymore. They don't want to let him go.
Well, I guess they don't want to cut him, because I don't know how much it's going to be if they cut him.
They don't want to cut him. They want to trade him. He said he's up for renegotiating his deal. I just think, really, they're making the last few ditch efforts to try and trade him. He will be dealt during the draft. I'm calling it now. If Adrian Peterson, you know, out of somewhere, somehow, is just like, all right, fine, I will sign with the Vikings again. Besides that happening, he will be traded come draft day. I guarantee it.
No, I can see that. Yeah, because they want something. I mean, it's one of the part when you have like a star player dude coming into the season, last season was the best back in the league. And them situations where a superstar player is like, I'm going to leave. And you're like, shit, well, we're not going to get value. And unfortunately, nobody wants to take on his contract as the way his contract as it is right now. They're like, hell no, I don't want to pay that. He's going to land somewhere. There's always been talking about Arizona. I think Arizona's trying.
Trying hard, too. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Running back Bernard Pierce from the Ravens busted for a DUI in Baltimore. And, you know, they on that zero tolerance policy right now, so they released him. Jags picked him up off waivers.
It was kind of funny how a few years ago people were talking about Bernard Pierce like he was the heir apparent to Ray Rice. Now he is just falling off the map. Mm-hmm. And they got a zero tolerance policy up there in Baltimore right now. And part of me wonders if that's the reason Haloti Ngata's not there anymore. He was busted for using, you know, performance enhancing drugs. So makes you wonder.
Yeah, their situation took a big hit with the Ray Rice and how they handled it then specifically. They could have handled it better, but they didn't. You know, the league ain't going nowhere. So the league can look bad and just be like, well, we deal with everybody, so it's all right. But the organization looks terrible.
Exactly.
And it's just coming off a Super Bowl win a couple years ago, so ugh. Charles Clay got him a 5-year, $38 million deal with the Bills. $20 million guaranteed.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because I was keeping up with the with all the news that was going on. And every day some blip came out and it was just like, oh, they're getting closer and closer to trying to offer Charles Clay a contract. They said they were working day and night trying to set that thing up perfectly so Miami could not match it.
I mean, he's good.
I mean, yeah, he's good, but
20 mil guaranteed. I don't know if he that good.
Miami was like, fine, we'll take Jordan Cameron. Thank you.
Yep.
They mad at that. So, I mean, but Baltimore has needed a tight end for a while. So I can't knock them for spending a little dough to try to get a tight end. They haven't had a good tight end since, damn, it's been that long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Speaking of drafts talk, Bucks are increasingly sold on Winston as the number one.
Of course they are.
Yeah, they need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback. He is, and I've never denied this, he is the most pro-ready quarterback in the draft. He is the quarterback who is most ready. If you needed somebody to start from day one, he is the best one. Now, as far as long term, I personally think it's going to be Marcus Mariota. That's just my opinion. But I'm not mad at Tampa. I mean, look, I mean, the man's met with Roger Goodell. He's taken down his with Facebook or his Twitter or something like that. He's doing the right things that he should be doing. You know, you don't really see much advertisements for him and stuff. He seems to be staying out of the limelight, which he should be doing, which I'm glad to see that he's doing. You know, and it seems like he's focused. I'm happy for the kid. He gets drafted number one. I wish him all the best of luck. So, you know, he spent a lot of time. I think it was 2-3 days with Tampa Bay and their facilities and all that. I'm sure he wowed the hell out of him. So, you know, I am not shocked that they're infatuated and that they want this kid the number one or as the number one pick. I feel like they're gonna announce it before the draft even takes place. They're just going to be like, yeah, we're taking him number one. Let's just get it over.
Oh, yeah. That's why he ain't sweating on coming. He's just like, yeah. I don't for what?
And I think that's their plan. I think that's the reason he's not coming. Because I have a feeling they're going to announce before the draft even starts that they taking him number one, period. So he don't need to be there.
Yeah, I don't think he doesn't seem too pressed with the whole handshaking Goodell, taking pictures, having that. He just doesn't seem to care about that.
Yeah. And I mean, he met with Roger Goodell already. And I'm sure he told him too, like, look, man. Yeah, but I want to be, and I can't knock the kids. I'm I'd want to do the same thing. I would want to be at home chilling with my friends and family, waiting to see when I get picked.
Yeah, and I came front either. I know it's a big deal getting that, shaking the commissioner's hand, but Roger Goodell looked terrible last year.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you know what? I'm good. You know, I'll see you. Well, I don't need to shake your hand and smile next to you. I ain't really feeling that.
Yeah.
You know, Mariota's expected to go number two overall. To who, we don't know. Basically, anybody, whoever wants to trade up for it.
Yeah, and I think there were rumors that the Chargers were interested in him. Yeah. I mean, that to me, that would be a great move for him if he fell to San Diego. I mean, I've always said it'd be great if he was able to fall to a team that was that had solid pieces in place already and he could learn for a year or so behind the quarterback and then take off the next year. That would be the perfect situation for him.
No, it would be.
So,
and then you go ahead, my bad.
I don't expect, you know, the Eagles to try and trade up for him. I don't know who I expect to try and trade up for him. I heard Cleveland is looking at him, which I'm like, oh God. So I don't know.
Johnny Manziel's supposed to be back around April or so, and then I guess we'll see what happened there.
They should be back in time for camps, and it starts on what date? Out of all days, ladies and gentlemen, 420. Of course. Snap. Of course, right? It just got to be 420 because it's Johnny Football.
That's funny. You know, some dudes will be like, it's not mandatory. I'm not coming. Speaking of weird, funny stuff, I don't get Chip Kelly working out Tim Tebow. That was a little like, okay. And it was talking them looking to trade Matt Barkley so they can add him. Like, what the hell?
Well, I will say Tim Tebow will be a great fit in Chip Kelly's offense because he knows how to run the option.
But Chip Kelly will actually use him. He ain't going to pull that Jets crap. We're like, we're going to use him a bunch. And he played three times all season. Chip Kelly would use him.
Yes. But, I mean, again, it was just one of those things where I looked at it for a second and I was just like, really? Chip Kelly worked up Tim Tebow? Okay. Whatever you want to do, Chip. I mean, at this point, I have no idea what Chip Kelly's idea is. I have no idea where his plan is. I don't know what direction he's trying to go. I don't know what he's doing. Now, as far as trading Matt Barkley, that I kind of expected because Matt Barkley was never projected to be a very good NFL quarterback anyway.
Nope.
No, so he wasn't. I wasn't surprised about. But Chip Kelly, he's, I don't know. I feel like everybody in the locker room is on edge because you don't know if you're going to get cut or traded at any given moment.
Yeah, no, you don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, Philly fans. Long summer.
You better hope you have a good ass draft. That's all I can say.
Yeah. All right, y'all. So let's get into these award time.
Sir.
First off, we starting off with the Norse Award.
Norse, Norse.
Norse, Norse. All right, what you got?
So for my first one, it's kind of a sad, you know, Norse Award, but I wanted to give a shout out to Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray. His mother passed away the day his team defeated Butler to make it to the Sweet 16. Apparently, it happened early in the morning, and he didn't tell any of his players. He said he spoke with his family, and they kind of urged him to play. He said he felt like he owed it to his players to be there and coach them in that moment. And he said, you know, one of the athletic trainers after the game, you know, kind of told the team that his mother had passed away after the game was over. And I just think winning that game probably made it all the more sweeter for him. You know, he said he felt like his mom was there with him, you know, helping him through the moments. And, you know, it, you know, Chris and I can kind of sympathize, you know, when our father passed away and we know how it is. So, you know, shout out to him, you know, stepping up to the challenge and, you know, even with the heavy heart, he was able to coach his team to a win in that moment. So much props to that coach.
No, definitely, man. I heard that story. I was like, wow, that's just sad. But he went through it. He played. I mean, he coached, got his team to the Sweet 16. So shout out to him, man. That's amazing.
Exactly. And then for my last Noise Award, I want to give a shout out to Malachi. And who the heck do you ask is Malachi? He is one of the only 11.57 million brackets. He was the only one who had a perfect bracket after the first round. Out of 11.5 million people, he is the one person who had a perfect bracket. And apparently, according to him, he watches no kind of basketball.
Wait, so he got through the Sweet 16?
No, he got through round one.
Oh, you mean like, well, technically round two. He got through the
round of 64.
Yeah.
And he got all those perfect.
Damn.
Yeah, apparently the next round he
didn't go so well.
Exactly. So, I mean, but shout out to him, man. I'm like, to be one out of 11.5 million people to get it right, shit. I'd pat myself on the back, too. Thank you very much.
No, I would, too. I'd be like, look at my shit.
Exactly. I'm on ESPN, nigga. Holla.
Anjo, for my Norse Award, I got two on deck. First one, no more blackouts for 2015.
Whoop, whoop.
According to the NFL, no NFL games will be blocked from local television next season. Teams voted for a one-year suspension of the long-standing blackout policy for preseason and regular games. So don't worry about if the minimum tickets were sold, them cold weather, when you're feeling like you got to go in order to for your game to be shown on TV, don't have to worry about it. Every game is going to be shown. Great.
That's what's up, man. I've always hated that stupid blackout rule. I found it to be so dumb. I'm like, well, so if we don't sell out the damn game, we can't get the damn game on TV. Like, that's fucking stupid to me. Like, that's so dumb, especially with the way television is nowadays with satellite and all that stuff. To not be able to watch your game just because you didn't sell out the stadium.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make any sense, honestly.
I'm happy that they did that because you're like, dude, like, okay, you didn't meet the minimum, but damn, don't be punishing everybody else.
Exactly. Just because I can't afford to come to the damn game. Sorry.
Right.
Easy.
And my other Norse Award is going out to Monet Davis, the star pitcher who got all the notoriety of the Little League World Series, has asked Bloomsburg University to reinstate baseball player Joey Castleberry. He sent an offensive tweet to her, calling her a slut.
Yeah, I thought.
And she's like, everyone makes mistakes. Everyone deserves a second chance. I know he didn't mean it in that type of way. And I know a lot of people get tired of just seeing me on TV. Sometimes you just got to think about what you're doing before you actually do it. And basically, I know right now he's really hurt, and I know how hard he worked just to get to where he is right now. I'm like, that is straight classy.
Absolutely.
13-year-old, she could have been like, man, fuck him.
Exactly.
I don't care.
And it makes me proud that she's a young little African-American young lady. That's what's up.
Yeah, just like, you know what? It was a little mean, but just brush it off.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Got caught up.
Yeah, he got caught up. He admitted he was stupid, and it was dumb for him to say. He should learn from it. I don't want him to – he should be punished, but you know, I don't want him to go through all that.
And now he looks even more like an asshole.
Yeah.
For picking on a girl who now you see is as nice as hell.
Yeah.
Come on.
And I heard the university was like, we appreciated her statement, but we ain't changing it. It's like, damn, okay.
We'll give you a scholarship, though.
Right.
Oh, love it.
All right, y'all. And, of course, we're moving on to everybody's favorite.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
All right, man. Who you got? Who's getting it?
The first one was just, I came across this, and I just thought this was odd. My first one's going to Baylor's football team. They are now moving an offensive lineman who weighs a whopping, wait for it, 410 pounds.
Wow.
To tight end.
What?
Yes. They in next year, Baylor's football team will have a 410 pound tight end. Now, granted, I've seen a couple clips on the young man. He caught a touchdown in the game. I've seen him catch a couple passes. He's got some agility for a big dude, but I'm like, bruh, he's a 410 pound tight end. I know we're trying to revolutionize the game, but that is just fucking ridiculous. I'm sorry. No football player should weigh 400 pounds.
No way.
I mean, damn, that is a lot. I mean, shit. So, I mean, first of all, what the fuck to Baylor? Because he could be losing pounds. I'm like, especially if he has any hope, and I don't know if he does or not, but if the kid got any hope of transitioning to the NFL, he's going to have to shed some of that weight.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's crazy.
And then, only because I enjoy picking on the Lakers, my next one, I came across this and on a whim, and was, and I can't find the article anymore. But Kobe Bryant got hurt when? In January?
I believe so.
Are you aware it is March 23rd, 2015, and Kobe Bryant still by 10, still leads the Lakers in shots attempted.
Damn.
By 10 shots. 713 attempts compared to Carlos Boozer, who has 703. I'm like, Negro, you've been out 2 months and you still lead your team in shots attempted? That just goes to show you how much his ass was shooting the ball. Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
I can't see you. You got to show me you here.
That is absurd. And just for the icing on the cake, what the fuck moment. We didn't bring this up previously, but you, sir, as a fraternity brother, how do you feel about the fucking Oklahoma fraternity singing that goddamn racist ass song?
Oh, it's just a racist fraternity. And I'm not mad at Oklahoma for suspending the chapter at all. I was like, this ain't no, like, you know, just whatever kind of song. I was like,
I'm talking about lynching motherfuckers.
Yeah. I was like, you have lynching in a song. Some old 1950s. You ain't never going to be part of this. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm
probably what their grandfathers and great grandfathers were saying.
Oh yeah, it just shows you that this stuff gets passed down. This isn't just, you just learned it. Like somebody is teaching you.
It was a lot of them singing it.
And this, that song sound like it's been around for about 50 years. I was like, oh, this is one of y'all chants. This is just a song your fraternity sing. This is one of y'all songs. It's just on some bullshit. I ain't mad that they got kicked the hell off. I was like, well, that's what y'all get for being stupid. I don't know who taped it, but I hope nothing happened to that person because.
Oh, a Norse Awards now too. I think it was a brother who saw that and posted that shit on YouTube ASAP.
Oh, I ain't mad at him. Like, do that.
Shout out to him. He getting a noise from me.
And the person who was actually taping, I bet you they know who did it. Just they can probably look like, all right, who was sitting at that spot on the bus?
Oh, he got his ass beat already. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, he ain't gonna have no job the rest of his life. I give him props for taping it and putting it out there, but them kind of people, they'll be like, oh, you told some business that's not supposed to get out there, so you ain't getting no job nowhere.
You done, son.
Yeah.
But yeah, what the fuck to that?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense, and, you know, I ain't mad. They don't represent fraternities as a whole. It's just some dumbass college students.
There you go.
Oh, but then if they was black, then they be thugs and adults and they need to go to jail.
Yeah, they
they 19, they just children. Okay, but if a 9-year-old black kid is a damn Hulk beast. Okay, stop all that shit. I can't stand it. All right, that's not for this show, but
oh,
had to go in there.
There you go.
All right, I got two what the fucks. First one is going to Darren Sharper.
Oh, absolutely.
Sentenced 9 years federal prison, taking a plea deal from sexually assaulting and drugging chicks. Ain't none of this Cosby, what if, all of that talk. He did it.
He did that shit.
Mm-hmm. Drugging and raping. What the fuck, dude?
Hell,
you
are
a star cornerback, and now you about to go to jail, and that's your life.
I mean, it's fucking sad. And my wife brought it up to me, and she was like, can you believe what he did? And I'm just like, it came to my mind. I'm like, number one, nigga, you're Darren fucking Sharper, bro. Number two, like, you're a millionaire. Number three, he's not a bad looking brother. So I'm sitting here like, why the need to do that, man? I'm like, women should be coming up to you, bro. Like, oh, it's Darren Sharper. What's up? And I'm just like, are you personally? I talked about this with a customer today. I was like, he was on some shit doing all that shit. I'm like, there is no way, unless he is just that sick in the head, there is no way a sober-minded person is just raping and drugging women. You just don't do it.
He's probably sick in the head. He's probably got some power trip in there and just wanting to be in full-on control and just want to do something and, you know, can't handle a woman just saying, no, leave me alone. I'm not interested.
Nope.
And this is shit why women don't want to be approached at all in the street.
Exactly. Because of cats like him.
Yeah, thanks, motherfucker, for making it hard for everybody else out there.
He deserves to go to jail for life.
Yeah, you see, he took that plea deal because it was, you know, in California, he was facing up to 33 years.
Well, they said he's getting 20 in New Orleans. So they said but they said his charges will be served concurrently.
Right. So
he could be out in 20, but, you know, we'll see.
Damn, bro.
But he deserves every bit of it, too.
Yeah, he does.
Get butt hole tight.
Damn right. And my other what the fuck moment, which I don't know how he thought this was okay to say. Leigh Brown saying that Kentucky could make the NBA playoffs in the East.
No, they can't.
Hey, look, okay, Kentucky is good. You know, they're on a great run. But you telling me this team of nine, like, what, freshmen? It's like an all-freshman team is going to make the playoffs in a man's league. I'm like, okay, first of all, you just done insulted the whole damn East.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
They're not beat. Who are they? Who are they beating? Who are they surpassing? They not beating Indiana.
Hell no. You ain't beating Charlotte.
You ain't beating Charlotte.
You probably ain't beating Philly.
Thank you. I was just about to say, I'm like, that's probably the one team in the East y'all might give a game to just because they almost as young as y'all. But I'm like, even Philly would probably whoop y'all asses.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like, come on, man. Like, this is not.
That's like pitting a high school team against a college basketball team. Seriously?
Right. Well, this division, they can beat this Division III school. How the hell you know? Like, for real? Like, Norris Noel would mash these dudes.
Yeah, I'm like, you don't understand that experience goes a long way when you're playing against grown men.
Yeah, so this Kentucky team is going to beat. They're going to be able to handle Greg Monroe.
And Andre Drummond.
Give me the break. They're gonna get their ass whooped. Even the Knicks.
Thank you.
And I'm talking about the not like, oh, well, the Knicks where everybody hurt. I'm talking about Carmelo Anthony's putting up 80 on them. Even Bargnani going off. I mean, come on, man. Like,
boy, dude, you see what the USA team has done against professional teams that play overseas and stuff like that? Come on, dude. They would wipe the floor with a college team.
It's just, I'm just shocked. Like, dude, this is a league of grown men. None of these players who you say in this team, these dudes are not coming to the league and just dominating. So you think a team, and this is not a team of juniors and seniors.
Exactly.
This is a team of 19-year-olds are going could make the play. It's one thing if he was like they could compete with a team in the East.
Exactly.
Then you can be like, okay, yeah, if it's a game, you know, they still lose, but yeah, they can be competitive, but they can make the they're going to play 82 games.
They'd be last.
Make the playoff.
They would be last.
Nigga, they'd be breaking the they'd be breaking the record for most losses.
They would be last in the league by far.
Like, come on, like Larry Brown, stop kissing ass.
Yes,
stop kissing Kentucky's ass. Kentucky's doing some great things, but like, well, so this they better than the Kentucky team with Antoine Walker, Ron Mercer. They better than that team.
Walter McCarthy.
Come on, like you better quit with that shit. And you ain't even gotten a win in. That's the thing. And if they don't make go all the way, then what?
And I agree with John Wall, and that team didn't even win a chip. You ain't better with than the team with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins.
No, hell no.
Like, are you kidding? Come on, bro.
The league is watered down.
Absolutely.
That's why they're trying to get that age up to 20.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all, you heard Rick Pitino, though. Rick Pitino was like, let him just go.
And I'm all with it. Mm-hmm. Let him go.
Calipari like, nah, you can keep it as is. Because this is where they coming.
There was a hand. There's only like a handful who succeeded coming straight out of high school. So, again.
He's just basically saying, let's just not waste their time or my time.
Oh, and I agree with him.
Yeah, if they come in here to focus and want to do something, I'm with it. But if they just kind of fucking around and just basically wasting the year, let them just go.
Exactly, which is what most of them are doing. That's why I'm just like, why don't you just give them the damn option and just let them go? Because you telling them that they ain't allowed into your organization, they're just going to go to a year, just like Rick Pitino said, they're going to fuck around and not take school seriously. And then they're going to enter the draft. So it's like, why waste our time? I've been saying that since day one. Just let them in.
Basically.
That don't make no sense to me.
Thanks for
getting my point across.
Yeah, when I heard it, I was like, yep. This is going to get an award.
Been saying that for the longest.
We want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. Brought to you by the Black Is Network. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud. Just go look for Black Is. Leave us some comments. Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think. You can also find us on our website, blackisonline.com, for any and all information about the Brothers Layman. If y'all want to get at us directly, you can hit us up via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Definitely want to thank y'all for tuning in to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. For the first-time listeners, definitely want to thank you for checking us out and seeing what we brought up in here in the Happy Hour. For the long-time listeners, definitely want to give y'all a shout-out for staying with us and staying tuned in for the long term. We definitely appreciate it. And if you do appreciate the show, go ahead and retweet it out. Go ahead and tell everybody about it. Go ahead and tell all your loved ones. Tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. Let's see who we got today. Tell your barracudas. Tell your jellyfish. Tell your great whites. Tell Shamu. Tell Orca, the whale. About the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Said, hey yo, can we get a pick? I said no. And they said, oh, it's Wolfgang Yonkers. Goblin is my shit though. Now I'm like, fuck, I don't wanna be an asshole. So I'm sitting there posing with Travis Devon with a fake smile like her titties was drawing it on. So fucking annoyed cause I'm with Goliath. Cause some kids said I was there and then they caused a riot. Now I'm surrounded by 25 hounded fuckers trying to get a photo. All because they noticed the top with the box logo on them fucking ears. Guarantee they didn't even hear, bastard. They bandwagon judgment from a pogo. I'm going fucking loco. Hey, Tyler, can I know, bitch? Don't you see me trying to buy a fucking churro? But Tyler, you're my hero. I used to get bullied until I heard radicals. The last part got to me. See, I used to give a fuck until my cock would bleed. Now I'm the happiest I think I'll ever, ever be. My life is just like yours. No father. My mama must have forgot to stop with a pop condom. In school, I was the one that was thinking outside boxes. So everybody in them would say that I got problems. So when I heard you say it, I said it back like Bacham. You're an inspiration to niggas like me. Not the niggas who just like you because the lyrics and beats. I'm talking about the niggas who don't know where they're going to be. I heard the song Bastard right in the moment of heat. Not in the summer, but of course I was holding a heat gun on the edge of my feet. I heard that first piano chord and it drew me in like predators carrying treats. Then I said to myself, fuck, is he speaking to me? See, me and you, we go together like snaring a beat. I mean, snaring a kick drum. See my forearm, I carved a weft on it this morning with a glass shard on my green mini ramp that I built in my backyard.
That's weird.
That's hard. That scar from playing air guitar when I see you play at the Roxy. Tyler, I love you, wanna be just like you. I think about your face and I don't even fucking try to. Wish I had a basement meant for me to hide you. We could play Xbox and listen to In Search Of and eat donuts over conversating about what church dug. Come up with weird ass videos with roach bugs. I'm straight edge too, so no drugs on this trip. And Rock killed that bitch, you should've killed that bitch. You should've took me instead. See,
weird.
If you can't have her, then he shouldn't either. And if I can't have you, then she shouldn't either. No one should see you but me in your t-shirt. I worship you until the fucking wrinkles on my knees hurt. I'll beat you Wolfgang, Golf Wang, Flawnaw, Free Earl Mobbin. I know it seems like I'm just slobbing on your knob, but I'm just a fan and I am losing my fucking noggin. I ain't got a job and I went out and bought Goblin about 5 times cause I love you, man. I like tie-dye tees or just plain white tees. I like pants that's cut. I like words like fuck. I got your pitch on my wall with the mouth cut out. Now paper cuts on my balls because your dick's in my jaw. And I hit you on Twitter about 10 minutes a day. And now I'm bitter because you don't even reply with a hey. My boys think I'm gay because I play VCR. And my car all alone. Speakers waking up later. All right, my nigga, calm down. It's getting weird to take this pic so I can get on Colossus. Blind as slow as molasses. No, nigga, I see you're loving my shit. And I appreciate the fact that you would suck on my dick. But I'm not gay, so it's awkward. Now I'm grouchy like Oscar after spilling some shit on his newest pair of beige Dockers. Yonkers and Yonkers. Sick of hearing about Yonkers, but grateful that it worked. I attack and I conquered. Yeah, whatever, but I had a fucking blast at the concert. I was at the Boston one. I got a t-shirt from Sagan, the one I say Sagan Lockhart. And when you came out to sandwiches, that's when my fucking boy crush got started. Just take this fucking picture, man. Shit.